Now, quite a bit has transpired in the meantime.
A great deal has happened. A lot of water has gone under the bridge.
Yeah, let's see if we can review some of the events and nail down some of the stuff. So if you came in, first of all, to start off the English church for the Ilmer EMMC, beginning at Davenport School, what kind of group did you have? How big was it?
The group had been meeting there for nearly a year when I came, so they were about 50 to 60 meeting on a Sunday morning at the Davenport School. They didn't have Sunday evening services, at least not on a regular basis, so I don't know what really the attendance was in the evening. But
Who had been leading the group until that point?
A. Fair had been preaching at the, okay, at the group for the first year.
What was his connection with this whole thing?
Well, he was a member of the Mennonite Church, and he had been asked by the Mennonite Church to oversee and to preach to the group.
Okay. Had he come from Mexico as well?
Yes, Abe is from Mexico.
Okay. Was he more recent coming in, or had he been around for quite a while?
He had been around for a while. I don't think he'd been here as long as I had been, but I imagine he was in his teen years when he came up here. I'm not really that acquainted with his history.
What is his background in terms of education? Did he go to Nipawin as well?
He went to Nipawin and he continued his education after that. I'm not sure how far he went or whether he graduated from high school or whatever.
And you met at Nipawin?
We met in the German church here at Ilmer.
Oh, so you knew each other from
there? We knew each other before.
Was he at Nipawin when you were there too?
Yes, he was there, I believe, 1 or 2 years when I was there.
Okay. So there were some cross connections.
That's right.
So you knew each other.
We didn't know each other. That's right.
Okay. And then, so he had been leading it for a year, and then you came in, and we had a group of about 50 or 60 people. Okay, and then what happened next, and how long were you with the group?
Well, we came and started preaching. The group grew. The Lord was blessing. I suppose within a year and a half we were up to just over 100 in Sunday school. And it was at that time that I ran into trouble with the Evangelical Mennonite Mission Conference Board. Mm-hmm. And
you want to describe the nature of the trouble a little bit?
Well, it started out, first of all, right at the time of our move from Saskatchewan here, the board had asked me whether I could come for an interview a little earlier, and the date they had set just didn't suit me, for I was due to be in British Columbia at that time. And so they suggested that we stop in then on our way through to Ilmer. And so during the course of the interview, the gentleman, I guess it was the Ministers and Deacons Board that interviewed me and asked me many questions, and of course I was happy to answer them. I was happy to state my convictions. They would ask me questions such as my belief on eternal security. Rather than ask, they told me very pointedly that I was very dogmatic on the issue of eternal security. And I could do none other than answer, that's correct, I guess I am dogmatic on it. They cautioned me about baptism, suggested that I go very easy on my convictions on baptism because of the nature of the people here at Ilmer. Nature of the Mennonite work, which could hurt it if we were too strong in our opinions and convictions and so on.
What was the dispute regarding baptism?
My conviction has been, since I've been saved, is that a person is baptized by immersion, the biblical way. Mm-hmm. And the contention with the Mennonite board, of course, was that any mode was acceptable, and the pouring mode preferable here in Ilmer because of the background of the Mennonite people here.
The old colony would do by pouring.
The old colony would do by pouring, right. And also they go ahead and pour water on their people before they're even saved. I believe it has something to do with marriage and church membership. I'm really not acquainted with their doctrines on that. Mm-hmm. I do know that many people have been poured on that have no knowledge at all of who Jesus is or how to get saved. Mm-hmm. And so my conviction, of course, was when we came to define what baptism was and who was baptized, was that a person who has been saved is supposed to be baptized. It doesn't matter much what ritual he's gone through before. And this was a point of contention. And so with that, that was the beginning at the first meeting in Winnipeg, where they cautioned me on these things, and there I already noticed that there were three areas which we strongly differed on. Number one was the issue of the security of the believer, the issue on baptism, and the eschatological question.
Describe the eschatological one a little bit. We have already described that a little bit.
At that first initial meeting, we didn't really get into much of a debate on eschatology. Simply stated the fact that I believe in the premillennial, pre-tribulation return of Christ, and no particular issue came up on that occasion. I noticed that some men just were not particularly fond of that strong view on that, but no issue came out of it at that meeting. I was very surprised at the end of the meeting that the gentleman then extended a warm hand of welcome to me into the EMMC and wished the Lord's blessing on the work at Davenport as I went. They knew that my convictions were not the same as their convictions on many of these things. And I guess really I was surprised at myself that after I realized that there was such a difference there already, why I even entered. when we started preaching here, I guess there were some reports sent from within the group of Davenport to the conference executive boards stating that I had been preaching strongly the eternal security of the believer and pushing this issue of baptism quite strongly. And so it came up to some repeated meetings at the Winnipeg meetings with the executive boards. I guess probably three or four meetings to which I was called, where you had some of the overseers of the MMC that called me into question and felt that I should change my convictions.
How much time transpired between your beginning here and those meetings?
I don't recall exactly when I was suggested to the education board, nominated to the education board. I don't remember that. I expect it was within a year. I believe we moved here in April, and I think it was probably, I don't remember, it was the first year in July or the following July at the meeting in Winkler where I was voted into the education board, and this is where the conflict started. I guess coming to Winnipeg frequently, they felt they had a little closer connection with me and could talk to me about some of these things. It bothered me because every time I was called onto the onto the floor with the executive board, I knew that I was not being in submission to their wants and desires. And so after, I guess it was about the third meeting that I had with the executive board on some of these issues, asking me to calm down and not to preach my convictions, what I feel is biblical teaching, that I just simply went to the men of our church. Can you turn that off, please? Hopefully I get rid of something. So I mentioned to the men of the work at Davenport, what was now known as the Christian Fellowship Chapel, that I just did not feel freedom to work with the EMMC any longer because I could not find myself to be in submission to authority, which I hold as a very strong conviction.
Was that done at a brotherhood meeting, or was it done more informally?
This, first of all, was done informally with some of the leading men of the board of the Christian Fellowship Chapel.
There were, in all likelihood, some who were strongly in MC and with others who were not. Is that correct?
That's right. But there was a division in the board at Davenport. I sensed that almost immediately when I came, that there was a division. I did not understand the nature of the division at first, but it didn't take long to find out who it was. And so then, with already a feeling of discontentment, it was really at the education board in Hague, Saskatchewan, when we met, that I began to find out a little bit more as to where the EMMC stood on some of the questions of eschatology. Some of the men of the education board suggested then that we have Harvey Plett from the Steinbach Bible Institute come to Aylmer to do some Bible teaching. And it was at that time that I brought up the idea that it was unconstitutional to have a man come and view the fact that he does not believe in the premillennial, pre-tribulation return of Christ. I believe he holds to the amillennial position. At least I was led to understand that he did. I had never met the man personally. And so I just simply mentioned that it was unconstitutional, and I was challenged that it was not unconstitutional on the basis that our Constitution, or the EMMC Constitution, did not spell it out that we were premillennial per se. And so it was there that I began to realize that the EMMC actually was open to accept the amillennial teachers, and it was there that I really felt a malcontent, I guess, with the EMMC as a whole. And so at the field council of the Ontario part of the EMMC, I brought up a recommendation that the EMMC review its constitution and reinstate the premillennial position of the return of Christ.
When
I don't know what date it was.
What year?
I don't remember the date either. I can remember the events, but I have a hard time remembering.
Check it out elsewhere.
Okay, they're probably in the field council minutes somewhere, so we brought up the recommendation. And it was unanimously accepted by the Field Council of Ontario that we bring this as a recommendation to the conference floor. And so this was fine. I was satisfied with that, providing that the conference would look into it. Now, I understood that it was a privilege of the Field Council to bring in recommendations to the MMC, and then, of course, that recommendation ought to be brought up to the conference floor. And this, of course, was being fought by some of the men in the executive board of the MMC. I believe it came up to about 3 votes to keep that recommendation here at the Field Council. First of all, it was unanimously accepted. And then word was sent back from Winnipeg that we reviewed that recommendation to find out whether we really wanted to go through with it or not. And so it came up to another vote, and it wasn't unanimous, but there were no opposing votes. I believe there was maybe one who did not vote because he wasn't sure that he wanted to go through with it in view that there would be problems connected with it and so on. So if I recall, it was maybe Dick Harms who did not vote. But everybody else still voted that we wanted to keep the recommendation as it had been made and passed by the Field Council of Ontario. And the third time, this was at the Field Council meeting at Reverend Dave Friesen's house when he lived on the Lakeshore Road, close to Port Rowan. It was there that again it had come up, and it was strongly suggested that we take back our recommendation and just forget about it for the time being. That the Constitution would be reviewed in 5 years. And so the recommendation was made that the Field Council just drop its recommendation altogether and not bring it up to the conference floor. And so it was at that time that I told Reverend Ben Swarovski that as far as I was concerned, I was personally resigning from the Evangelical Mennonite Mission Conference. I was no longer a minister with it on the basis of the fact that we had no freedom to start with to even bring up a recommendation from Ontario. It had been decided 2 times previously and brought up for the 3rd time to see whether the recommendation could be defeated before it was even brought to the conference floor. And so I felt that there certainly was a very strong opposition either to the premillennial view or else just an indifference towards the whole question of eschatology. So I felt that to stay in a conference like that, I would only be causing trouble. So it was at that time that I called the Brotherhood of the Davenport School together, and we met at the 77 Maple Street at my house. And I informed the men of what had happened. I told them that I had resigned. And I said, as of, I believe the meeting was probably on a Friday night, I think this was Saturday, when I called the board together, or the Brotherhood together, and I said that I had resigned, and that as far as I know, I'm no longer the pastor of the Davenport work as long as it's EMMC. And I informed them about the issue on eternal security, on baptism, and on eschatology. I also mentioned what 1 or 2 members of the executive board expressed to me, said that they were sorry that the Davenport work had ever started. I did mention that to the men. And so
Why were they sorry that it never started? Did they say?
Yes. Because there were some men in the Davenport School who were very, very dogmatic on the issues of eternal security, baptism, and so on. And so consequently, it was causing division with the work at Aylmer. This was their opinion. And so they, I remember his name was Mr. Gerbrand, who expressly told me, I'm sorry the work has ever started, I wish it would never started. And I would not have taken issue with that particularly had the executive board given him any word of counsel or said anything about it, but there was absolute silence, which to me meant that the executive board either had no opinion or was in favor of what he was saying. So therefore I just simply brought that up as another point of another reason as to why I felt that the UMC was not particularly interested in us. And also because of these theological questions, I said that I am no longer a minister of this, and you men can do as you feel free. And it came to a vote that night. The majority of the brethren that were there said that they were going to go along with me. And I said, what do you want to do? Well, they said, we'll just keep right on going the way we are. We'll just be an independent church. And so I believe there was two men that voted against, and one or two that had no opinion one way or the other. And the majority of them, I guess there were 17 of us met in the room, and the majority of them then, of course, voted in favor of just going independent.
Let me backtrack a little here. What was the nature of the commitment when you said you resigned from the UMC? Were they paying, who was paying your salary?
The Davenport School.
The Davenport School, fully?
That's right. There was a connection with the German church and the Davenport School in the treasury at that time. The finances of the Davenport work was coming in to cover for my wages. I was not on full salary.
You were working part-time?
I was working part-time. Plus
What percentage of your salary was...
I don't know what percentage. We were receiving $500 a month.
Of course, you worked for the church right from the beginning.
That's right.
And that was coming through the combined treasuries of the Elmer Church and the Davenport Church.
That's right. That's right.
Okay. And so that was really... They were really financing the work then. Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Just struck me something I want to ask.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Continue then.
So that we went independent, and of course several, I think it was three or four of the men that came the next morning and just simply told me that they were finished and they didn't bother staying for the morning service, just came in to tell me that they were done and went over to the German UMC work. And these were the men, of course, that were opposed to my doctrinal stand to start with. I did not hold it against them. I thought they were good men. I love them very much, still do. But they just did not hold my doctrinal convictions, and so of course you can understand that if there is a man with strong doctrinal convictions, and if you do not have them, it's going to create some difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
And so they at that point then just resigned and felt they did not want to be part of the independent work. Shortly after that, I believe probably the next week, we started looking into the severing of the treasury, and we met with the German Church Board. Pardon me if I may backtrack there.
Yeah.
Before it came to that, Reverend Ben Sawatsky and Ed Stace, those were two men that I remember. There may have been others from the EMMC that had a meeting together with us, with the board from the German church.
Well, us? Okay.
With the Davenport board and the Mennonite Church Board.
Was this after that Sunday or that Saturday?
This was after that Saturday. I believe it was the following week. I think it was the Bible school closing was just about the same time, so these men were here anyway for the Bible school closing.
They already started the Elmer Bible School then?
Yes, it had finished the first year.
First year, okay.
And so they then requested a meeting with us.
With your board and with the Elmer German Church Board?
That's right. That's right. Reverend Ben Sawatsky's ideas were not to ask the Davenport work to come back into the UMMC. He stated that very plainly there. Of course, we didn't expect him to desire that either. He just simply mentioned that our desire is not to ask you to come back. Our desire is just simply to point out that we want you to know that you pulled out from us and we didn't send you out. And some words of caution, some words of admonition, expressing disappointment that we had made the move that we had made. And it was, generally speaking, a fairly smooth meeting. Several of the men suggested that they were very disappointed that we had done it. Several men from the MMC board at the German Church.
From the Elmer MMC.
That's right. They felt that we had been a little bit too radical in going ahead and going independent on some of these issues. They felt they weren't important enough to go ahead and sever our relations with the MMC. We did not get into any argument. We just left it at that and thanked them very kindly for their concerns. And then on, we continued on to have our meeting with the German board then to divide the treasury. And it was divided. I believe I think there was something like $8,000 or $9,000 in the treasury, and we divided it 50-50 because of the... It looked like the financial income was just about 50-50 from both groups, and so it was divided that way. And from there, we had complete severance from the UMC.
Now, what year did that happen?
You asked me to remember something I can't. I expect it was 76, sometime in 76, maybe 75.
Can you backtrack from some other date that you know?
All right, it happened, the Elmer Bible School had its first year completed.
Okay.
So, whatever year that was.
That would have been in the spring then of that year.
Spring of that year, that's right.
Okay, that's helpful. And, okay, so then in the next week or so, you made the servants complete by breaking the treasury and dividing 50-50.
That's right.
There was no property to divide.
There's no property involved at all. That's right.
Continue the narrative with your group then? What happened then?
Well, we were small because several families had pulled out and gone back to the EMMC. I believe at that point we were meeting with about 28 in Sunday school. Several. You see, the number that I quoted before with running about 100 or just over in Sunday school, that had a lot to do with the young people that came over from the EMMC who were looking for an English church. And of course, many of these young people immediately, when the people of the German church heard that we had broken relations with the EMMC, they withdrew the young people immediately. And so this left something like the 40 voice young people's choir out of our church altogether, just took them right out.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the several families, the Crakers, Dan Gerbrand, the Dave Hildebrands, they immediately withdrew and would have nothing more to do with the work. So this left us with around 30 just under in Sunday school. And it was just a couple of months after that we were starting to get back towards the 70 and 80 mark in Sunday school. And
where did you meet then?
In the Davenport School. We continued as normally, right? The people that withdrew, they just went back to the German church.
I see. And you just continued with the leftovers?
We continued with those who believed in this, who believed in the doctrinal position that I believed in and that the majority of the board believed in.
Now, when it grew to that number, as you say, where did those people come from?
Visitation program in the Elmer area.
So they were local residents?
That's right. That's right. We never did try to go back to any EMMC people to try to get them back to our work. It was not our desire. Our doors were open to any of them who cared to come, which they still are. Anybody who feels that our church can help them, the doors are open. We do not go around soliciting other evangelical church members. We believe we have a greater ministry than that, and the ministry of winning souls to Christ. And that was our immediate contention, was when we went independent, that the soul winning ministry was the ministry we would be having to go into in order to build up this church.
Mm-hmm.
And not just to build up the church, but for the sake of winning souls to Christ. We felt that the English work in Elmer had been established by God, not necessarily the EMMC, but by God. It was a work that was necessary, because Elmer had a very, very weak program for any outreach of soul winning whatsoever by any group. In fact, today, there still is no other group that does an extensive outreach ministry in the Elmer area. And so, I still believe that God originated the whole work, and needless to say that a lot of heartaches were involved in the separations and so on. But in spite of it, the Lord has blessed, and the Christian Fellowship Chapel continued to be named that, continued to grow. In 1977, we were running about 120, 125. Still at the Davenport School. Now, by this time, we had already purchased property. Now, we may have purchased the property just before the severance of the relation as well.
I see.
With the EMMC.
Where was that property?
On the Hacienda Road, just east of Elmer.
Oh, the same.
The property we have now. By November of 77, we had already started construction on the building. We were planning to be in the spring of 78. And there was another group in Elmer that had started up called the Elgin Baptist Temple, an independent Baptist church. A few people were meeting there, probably 25 to 30 people were meeting in the Summers Corners Public School.
Mm-hmm.
And I met the pastor, whose name was Abe Taves. He had separated himself from the Mennonite Brethren at Port Rowan, and had preached in the Colton Baptist Church for a number of years already, and decided that the Convention Baptist was not his kind of theological thinking either, and so he resigned from the church and came to Elmer and started a brand new church. He did not pull any group out. He just simply went to start up a new one.